away we go here on the air on this Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. What a weird day it is. 15 minutes past the hour. And as a news station, we're going to give you the update because, as many of you know, the presidential election is still up in the air at this particular point. Right now, Electoral College, which is the way we elect a president, Joe Biden for sure has 224 electoral votes. Donald Trump has 213. You've got to get to 270. Nine states have not been called at this particular point. Those states which right now are favoring Biden are Arizona, Maine, Nevada, and Wisconsin. That would give Joe Biden 255 electoral votes. Trump has four in his favor right now, those being Pennsylvania, Alaska, Georgia, and North Carolina. That would give him 269. One more is out there. It's Michigan. This morning, it was in Trump's favor, currently in Biden's favor. If Biden wins Michigan, on top of the other states we just mentioned, it would give him 271. If Trump wins, it would give him 285. But Georgia, we're learning, the votes that haven't come in are from the Atlanta area. So that could flip to Biden at this point. The votes that have not come in which is the other state here that it's very, very close in two states right now. Oh, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. There are a lot of out votes in Pennsylvania at this point. That's 20. That's the biggest one left on the map, 20 electoral votes. But also Arizona and Nevada, you don't really know. Now, what we do know is that every state that has started to count the early votes that they didn't count yesterday or the mail-ins or the absentees, they're tending Democrat. And that's how Michigan and Wisconsin overnight have trended toward Joe Biden. So, that's what we know, and this is where we are. Now, locally, you heard the news there. You got the local results. It was a big night for the Republicans in Marion County. They all won last night. Jessica Wallace, Matt Bales, Andy Apfelfeller, and Kerr Murray. And they all won between 60 and 70%, with 60 and 70% of the vote, while all the Democrats, even a four-term sheriff, Sheriff Bailey, were between 30 and 40% of the vote. Now, it was a good night for levies. If you were Adam H., if you were MRDD, if you were Council on Aging, you passed. All levies passed. So that is your election update. Now, for the next 2 hours, the co-host of this show is Glenn Coble, so we'll go to Glenn. Glenn, here we are.
I have to wake me up occasionally because I only got 2 hours.
I think we're all. Sam Donaldson said he's going to sleep now. He's been up all night. I've been up all night. We didn't close the thing down here last night till midnight. I think everybody's a little bleary-eyed this morning, and we're staying bleary-eyed because we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and we're watching it on TV, and it looks like it's going to go on a while.
You know, I my impression is that a lot of these states will be called today. Now, probably not Pennsylvania. But Michigan, Wisconsin, they're pretty close to 90 or above 90% at this point. Arizona's up there, and they're going to start counting here pretty soon again. And Alaska, I don't think that's going to take a whole long time. Georgia's not far. They're going to count those votes in the Atlanta suburb and see what happens in Georgia, and that'll be that. North Carolina, I really don't know if that can flip at this point. Maybe. But this is where we are. And well, let's go local here, because you worked a lot of hours at the Democratic headquarters here locally, and what we have learned now, which everybody said, Jeff Ruth called in this morning, he was at the Board of Elections, Mary Ellen was here last night, everybody has said, much like 2016, the down ballot counts. If you vote for a Republican for president, chances are you're voting for Republicans on the local level.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I faced that same problem. Matter of fact, my vote count was about in 18 was about the same as most of the Democrats are right now, and I cry for the nation that we have stopped to care about one person's thoughts over another. It's just a cult of politicians. We have ceased to think for ourselves, and that was one of the reasons why when I started A Progressive Life, one of the reasons why I started it is I wanted people to start. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, but I would like you to think. And unfortunately, we're still stuck in cults.
Well,
both sides, I must say.
You know, it's interesting right now because I don't think anybody nationally feels good right now as they're watching the television. I think the Democrats are saying, oh man, Donald Trump has pulled this off again, and it wasn't a fluke in 2016. And I think the Republicans right now who love Donald Trump, who were in these parades, who were sure that there was a hidden vote, which there certainly was quite a bit of a hidden vote yesterday because Donald Trump certainly overperformed what the polls said, he's not a shoo-in to be reelected right now. So, you know, I don't think there's a person out there who's not bleary-eyed and nervous right now.
Probably.
Who voted yesterday.
Yeah. Most likely. Well, I just wish people would. I wish we were smarter. And we have proven with this election that we don't really pay attention.
You know, I don't. What was interesting to me, a number that was interesting to me yesterday was we had more people vote in Marion County than we did in 2016.
I was thrilled to see the turnout, but I think the turnout came because one side said, I'm going to show those guys, and that's what those stupid caravans were that tried to run buses off the road, and there were other caravans on the other side as well. And I really find that absolutely obnoxious. Coming from a family where my father was a Methodist minister, I see no religion, no support of religious ethics in what we're doing on either side anymore. We have become, I'm going to show your side, and I just hate that. I really do.
But you know what I'm nervous about right now? It's not so much the outcome of this election, because it's going to be what it's going to be.
And you're not 74.
No, but I live in a community where the perfect scenario has been set up for exactly what we all feared, which were protests and riots, which is why Walmart took their guns off the shelf, ammunition, which is why a lot of these communities, the sheriff's office and the police stations, have had riot plans. We have set up a scenario right now where whoever wins this election could win it by 2 electoral votes. And we had to wait till the next day, maybe longer.
Next week.
Or it came in mail-in ballots, because that's what all the media is telling you right now. And that is the perfect scenario, in my mind, for somebody who thinks that it was rigged to get angry and go do what they do. Boy, I hope it doesn't happen, but, you know, that's making me nervous.
It's made me nervous. I guess, sometime a month ago, that it was going to come down to a nail-biter as opposed to... I kept hearing all the Democratic pundits were saying, oh, no, there's no problem. But I kept thinking it was going to come right down to the wire. I am more nervous about if Trump loses than I am if Biden loses. I believe if Biden loses, people will be hurt, and they'll do what they did in 16. They'll hide their heads and... say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll go on. But I'm afraid if Trump loses, his cult has shown their propensity to go out and be kind of violent. And I know Trump says that it's all those violent protesters are all Democratic socialists, but that's BS.
Well, I just hope it doesn't happen.
Because
that would be
however
awful.
I've thought about it.
Well, I think because we're talking about it, I think it's on everybody's mind, because we don't know, and it's not going to happen until a winner is declared.
Yeah.
And the way it looks right now, it's going to come right down to the wire. One of the closest presidential elections, electoral college wise, in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And either way, and you have to wonder why. Why are people so amped up? I think people probably should have paid more attention, the pollsters, to the popularity of Donald Trump in this country. I've never seen, and I've been saying it for weeks, I never have seen parades for a presidential candidate happening in states. I've never seen flags for a candidate. It's interesting. I don't know. I think people make a lot of comments, and people can certainly have their opinions. And there have been a lot of people who've been hated in political worlds. I mean, my goodness, George Wallace ran for public office, and there have been a lot of people.
He was shot about a half a block from my house.
Yeah, interesting. That's interesting. Well, but, you know, everybody has their picadillos when it comes to what people like and what people hate. But the problem here is I think, much like with radio, much like with television, it used to be they'd say all radio, all television, all elections are local, that it really does, it's about the local content. Well, internet and cell phones have made us aware of everything.
Yeah, made it pretty wide.
Yeah, so I don't know that it is local anymore. I think you should talk about things going on locally because nobody else is going to, but do people know about the presidential election? Do people know about the royal family? Do people know about what's on the cover of all those national magazines? Well, sure they do, because it's on Facebook every day, far more than any local content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. The thing that bothers me, one of the things that bothers me, is that we're setting up, and all you have to do is look at the polling. We're setting up a nation where it's two cults. One cult is the educated, science, pro-science people, and the undereducated or not educated, or where both are, they're fighting. I remember in high school and grade school, the smart kids and I happen to be kind of in the middle, but the smart kids and the dumb kids were always at odds. And I think that's what we're coming down to. The smart kids think they're real smart, and the dumb kids, and I'm using those terms very, very broadly, but the dumb kids said, well, I'll show him, I'm going to punch him his lights out. And that's kind of where the Republican Party is right now. We're going to punch their lights out. And it's kind of where the Democratic Party is right now. Oh, we're pretty smart.
Well, I think that's ultimately one of the problems.
Yeah.
I'm not talking necessarily about the parties, but I think it's the perception that's been given off over the last few years.
It could be just a perception, but it sure does seem to ring true.
Well, I think when the Democrats have said, I've heard it, lower IQ people, dumb. Well, the reason the dumb kid usually punches out the smart kid is because you call them dumb,
yeah,
and they find out,
yep,
about that.
Absolutely.
That's a big mistake, and I think that's where, if we're talking about political parties right now, if that's the assumption, nobody wants to be called dumb. The Democrats would not want to be called dumb. They
no.
get just as angry.
And they don't like being called elitists either, or what is the other term I'm thinking of? So we've gotten both sides defending their turf because I'm this and you're that, and I'm not going to let you get away, you know, that crap.
Well, you know, I heard some, and I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to say the person's name, but I heard something just about the local Democratic Party the other day about a decision that's been made recently, and the person I was talking to was a Democrat, and they seemed very happy about it, but the thing that ran through my mind was, if you were a Democrat, you would be happy about it because this is somebody you would like. But if you're trying to appeal to independent voters, if you're trying to appeal to Republicans, and you need to do that, you have to do that in Marion County, this is somebody who, that ain't happening because of the things they've said and the attitude they have. So why you would put that person in charge of anything, I have no idea. It wouldn't have been my choice.
Well, would you rather have, and I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm going to switch this a little bit. Would you rather have the smart kid in charge of, what was the name of the island? I can't remember the name of the island, where all the kids were, the book. Everybody read it when they were in high school or college.
You know what? Think on it. We're going to take a minute break, and we're going to come back on the opposite side with this interesting discussion, and I think it is this morning. Stay tuned.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on this Wednesday, November 4th, 2020, 31 minutes past the hour, and here we go. But we're going to look up this book here.
Trying.
Yeah, we're going to find out what it is. But I think, you know, it's an interesting thing right now because I look at people in the Republican Party, certainly on the local level, and I'm not saying all of them are likable people, but when I talk to people who aren't living and dying politics, they say, you know, I like that person. I like them. You know, they may not have voted for them, but they like them.
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I say. When I heard this news about the Democratic Party, I thought to myself, well, you know, to the Democrats, great. They would love this person. But the independents, the Republicans, that person, I don't know if they know how to handle that particular group. I don't know that that would ever appeal to them, but maybe it will.
Well, since I know who you're talking about, and I will leave the pronouns out, and so it is not necessarily a male, not necessarily a female, but this person is a very hard worker, and I think that's how she got where she got.
Oh, well, now we know.
Now we know, yeah.
Now, we don't know who, but we'll just leave with that.
Yeah, and I think I think that's probably why she got where she got, not because of her aggressiveness, and she is aggressive.
But I
like her because of that.
Oh, liking, I don't think, is the issue. I think the issue is, when I think about the Democrats of yesteryear who did win in Marion, and I think about the Democrats who still win in Marion, like the mayor, okay, like Mary Ellen. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't still win.
But she did. She won very well.
Well, a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When Democrats won, mm-hmm, big in this. But the thing about those people, Joanne Kosodis, mm-hmm, is one of those people. When I think about those people, Republicans like them. Republicans do vote for them. They have to, or they wouldn't be winning. But there are other people who are a different breed, who absolutely, they will energize the Democrats more than any other person. They would energize the Democrats more than the mayor or Mary Ellen or anybody else would. But do they appeal to the people? You don't have to appeal to the Democrats if you're a Democrat. You got to appeal to the middle. You got to appeal to the Republicans. Republicans got to vote for you. Republicans vote for the mayor. A Democratic mayor. Republicans voted for Mary Ellen when you look at those elections. Republicans voted for Sheriff Bailey for a long time. It just happens that way, and I don't know what's different now.
The only thing I can say is we've gone back to the cults, and that we really don't think anymore. We just vote for my team.
You know, I think it will be over, though, by the time the next presidential election comes.
I don't. I think we're in this for a long time to come, and I'm glad I'm going to die before world comes to an end.
I'll tell you why I'm a little more hopeful, is because...
Because you're young.
No, it's because either one of these candidates right now are not going to be running in 4 years, I doubt. If Joe Biden wins, he'll be 82, maybe, but I don't see that, him running again.
I don't either.
And Donald Trump certainly is not going to run again if he loses this year.
He might try.
I don't know. He'd be close to 80.
He kind of has indicated that he might try.
He says a lot of things.
Yeah, I know, and most of them are lies. So,
so there you go. So what I'm saying is, and I don't think you're ever, I think at some point somebody is going to say, since the last two elections have been people all over 70 who have run, Hillary just over 70, Trump was over 70, oldest president ever elected. If Biden wins, he'll be the oldest president ever elected. And Trump is in his late 70s, or middle 70s now.
Yeah.
And so I... Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Chip, how are you?
Good. Watching CNN again.
Watching CNN? Well, hey, the MRDD passed. I bet you're happy about that.
Yeah, it passed.
Yes, it did. So what do you think of what's on CNN, Chip?
Being a final next president, yeah.
I know. We're all waiting to find out together. We'll all find out together.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Chip. I'm glad you're paying attention, watching CNN this morning, listening to us.
You work today?
I do.
Fine.
Tonight. I'll be there tonight.
Okay.
Thanks, Chip. Well, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Have a good day, Chip.
So, you know, to me, and we thank Chip for calling in, I think that I think you could circle the globe and you're never going to find another candidate like Donald Trump. So I don't think that's going to happen again. And I also don't think that the Democrats are going to continue to run people in their 70s. So I think it will be different in 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. I was while you were talking there, I was trying to think of who the Republicans would put up after Donald Trump, and I surely not Mitch McConnell. He's long in tooth as well. Same with Lindsey Graham. He's not a young man.
It would be a Mike Pence. It would be...
He's relatively young. He's in his 50s.
Yeah, and has been vice president. It would be...
But he has no personality. I think they'll go with somebody with more personality like Donald Trump had.
Well, the voters will ultimately decide.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Right.
I have no choice. I'm just musing over the thought.
But I don't know anybody like Donald Trump. So I don't even know if somebody could come close.
I'm really glad I don't know anybody like Donald Trump.
which because that's what, I just think it will be different in 4 years because I don't think it will quite be like this again. I think it will be people who are politicians, which is the way it had always been. I think it will be people. At some point, the page has got to be turned from these people who are in their 70s. Not that that's awful, but it's been that way for 8 years now.
I just noticed what's on the screen. Is that one that we knew for
what
sure?
What was that?
The Arizona.
What did it say?
51 for Biden and 47 for...
Yeah, Arizona. Okay. Yeah, Arizona looks to be for Trump.
This is disconcerting to have a TV over here.
Well, the final count in Arizona is expected tomorrow.
Okay.
All so, and Nevada. Or Nevada. Nevada's expected
yeah,
tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, that one
Arizona, well, chances are go today because they're going to come in and count the mail-in. Pennsylvania is the only one that I could see stretched out because Wisconsin and Michigan and North Carolina and Georgia and Alaska and all of those states have to be getting close.
Did you see the... Well, you probably didn't because I watch all the time, but you were probably at work. The Secretary of State of Pennsylvania, I think he's a Democrat, but he came out and he said, we're going to count the votes until we count every last vote. And he said, and that's it. We're not going to cave to either side. And it was quite interesting. He was so adamant and you know, you thought, well, he's going to say something bad about Trump. He did not. He said whoever wins the vote will win Pennsylvania, and that's the way it's going to be. I thought that was a refreshing stand for law and order and right and what's should be.
Well, that's good. We should count all the votes.
Yeah, we should. I know that the current president would like to cut off the mail-in votes now because he's starting to lose ground.
You know what I don't understand? Because it's going to be historic. really, either way, I was thinking about this yesterday. If Biden wins, he'll be the oldest president ever elected. If Biden wins, you're going to have the first female vice president you've ever had. If Trump wins, you will have elected the oldest president you've ever elected. So it's going to be, one way or another, historic in some way. But what I was thinking about is because, you know, it's very interesting about male and female in this country. Clearly, you can tell a male from a female. It's no shock to anybody.
In most cases. Yeah.
And we do say it. It was said a lot in this election.
How did you mean? By visual or do you mean by attitude?
I mean by sex. I mean, you know that Kamala Harris is a female.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing to call somebody a male and a female, but I'm not sure about these terminologies. I mean, I don't know. You know, you wouldn't call... I don't know any word, I guess I would say, that would not apply to a man that applies to a woman. But there are differences.
I'm confused.
Well, like for example, let's just start with clothing and then we'll go to words. And words are tricky because they're words you can't say on the air, some of them.
Okay.
But here, the point is that, okay, a man cannot get away with wearing a dress and not getting stares.
Unless he's in Ireland.
Right. So, but nobody says... Oh, that's discriminatory toward men. You're being sexist because you won't let a man wear a dress. Nobody says that. We all bat our heads and look at him and go, "Well, why is that man wearing a dress?"
Well, you're saying it in your head.
You're saying it's odd?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't say it's sexist. But under the term of sexist, we would say it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. If a man wore a dress.
Well, some of us do.
Right, but most don't. Most just say, "Boy, that's
I'm one of those people that would say you're being sexist
but
if you think that."
The term that is closely associated with women who are difficult, the B word,
mm-hmm.
They call men that. They call men that. All you know, you're starting to bup and drop the B word. Stop B word. You would say that to a man.
But you don't call. Usually, don't call a man the B word.
No, you call him because, a son of a B-word.
Yes, which is a female.
Right. So I don't know that there is any exclusive word to any sex. I was trying to think of that because a word I used during the break, because I love to talk about words. I used the word shrill.
Yeah.
There are shrill men. And I
have never heard you call a man shrill.
I don't know that I call too many women shrill.
Well, you just did.
That woman, I did call shrill. But you know what I was basing that on? I was basing that on the times I've been around them and the feedback that I got other women.
I know that person, and I've never heard her be shrill.
I can send you an email from somebody at that time. Now, this is not from me, and this is not from anybody who was at this station. This is somebody who just heard them as a guest and told me, and a woman... told me exactly what they felt about that particular person. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, because a lot of people like that person. I like that person. But if a woman calls a woman shrill, is that okay? But a man can't call a woman shrill?
I don't care what you call her. I think it's a term that's more often than not used as a female, and it just implies that who you're talking about is a female. I don't care what you call me. I'm not one of those people that ever thought you should call an African American person the N-word.
Well, of course not.
But that it has gotten to that point where there are terms that are just as, not as inflammatory, but close to it in regards to male and female. And this vote, by the way, I truly believe is the Trump vote is a vote of male dominance. I truly believe that.
I guess what I'm saying is if a man calls a woman shrill, we label that as sexist. If a woman calls a woman shrill, what do we label it as?
It depends on the woman that's calling her that. If she's grown up, and I've done, as you know, I worked with the Obama campaign in 08 and 12 as a, I did computer stuff. My wife and I inputted the stuff that came off the street, and we found that most women at that time were voting the way their husband voted. The implication was the husband was telling them how to vote.
And here's the break. We're back in one minute.
WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on WWGH Radio. It is Wednesday, November 4th. No changes right now in what's going on, except Pennsylvania is saying we're going to count the ballots,
which is what
they're going
to
do.
That's what we need to do. We need to make sure everybody gets the opportunity to vote and we don't cut people out. If we start cutting people out, we've got, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of soldiers overseas, but if we start cut off the mail-in ballots, we're going to cut them off. I don't think we can do that as a former soldier.
Well, it's you know, we don't know what will happen. All eyes are on Pennsylvania, apparently, according to this news station. And I guess we'll see. Now, Biden does not have to win Pennsylvania to win.
I wondered why you said that.
Yeah, it says right there. All eyes on Pennsylvania. Absolutely. And it will be. And we'll see how that all goes as the day progresses. But I think that, you know...
That's amazing. How can all eyes be on Pennsylvania and Trump is leading by 10 points?
Well, I think because they're saying what they haven't counted is the mail-in vote, and it's 50% of that is in Philadelphia.
Yeah, a lot of it is in Philadelphia.
And that's Democratic territory. But I think one thing, you know, the PC nature, and comedians are complaining about this all the time, is that they can't perform anymore because the joke,
say certain things.
You can't say certain, everybody gets so offended. And I think there are things you should be offended by, no doubt about. Slurs should be offended. But what is a slur and what is just a descriptive term? Right. I think there are terms that have been used for women and men over the years, but I don't know that they're slurs. I think they're just descriptive words. And I think this is what comedians are saying, is that we've went past the descriptive terms. We went past the slurs into descriptive terms. Like, you would not get up and call a woman the B word in your comedy act. People would get angry.
Oh, they do all the time.
People get angry.
Richard Pryor.
he doesn't for a while. In 2020, it'd be hard to do. It'd be hard to go to a college campus and play and use that as a punchline.
Yeah, because you'd get booed off the stage by the females that don't like that term.
Absolutely.
Just like you can't use the N-word.
Right.
But you will see there are comedians that will use both of them. It's kind of interesting. My wife started calling what you and I would refer to as blacks. She started calling them African Americans. And that confused me because I didn't know who she was referring to. And that, because my wife tends to be a little politically correct. I am not so politically correct, but it reminded me of when I was a kid. I used to walk to school, and I've told this story before, but I used to walk to school with Pinky Pinkerton. His name was Pinkerton. That's why we called him Pinky. But he was an African-American young man. And he could not stand being called black because he was relatively light-skinned African-American, but he would say to me, Glenn, look at my arm. I'm not black, I'm brown. And he just hated the idea that we were going from Negro to black. So it depends on where you are, when you are, and kind of depends on how you're saying it. There are people that would say that B-word is a shrill person, and if you judge their motivation, it's because they hate her. It has nothing to do with, those terms don't really mean anything. And I think that we have to be very careful, and we need to judge our own motivations for why we say things about people.
You know what's interesting is that somebody can make a very good point, man or a woman, can be making a very good point.
Well, thank you.
And be very hardworking. And if you do it in a certain voice,
yeah,
and you do it in a certain tone,
I know where you're going.
Right. But if you do it in a shrill, what is the male equivalent for shrill? If that's a sexist term, what is the male equivalent?
I have no idea.
I just say,
so, see, that's the problem.
I would call a man shrill.
I don't think I ever have.
I just think and we even talked about a couple men there who are shrill.
Yes, and you're right.
Right, they are shrill. But the point is that I think the reason those men are not referred to as shrill by me on a regular basis is because they're not in that kind of a position. The position we're talking about of this woman, if you come off shrill, you'll turn people off. But I'll tell you what, the men and the position they're in, I know they turn people off in what they're doing in their shrill way.
Now, you'll have to forgive me, Scott, but I think you would refer to that person as shrill because I don't think you say you like her, but I don't think you do.
Oh, no, I
you can say whatever you want.
Don't worry. Oh, no, it's fine. But no, I always did because I always felt that that person had a point of view that was very relevant. I always felt that they were coming out of a... at that particular time, we had a very strong opinion one way. And it changed.
You mean the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody needed to give the opposing viewpoint. And I liked that. And I never had a bad conversation with that person because we didn't talk about anything political off the air. Never did. Never had a political conversation. So
I doubt that you talked with this person off the air, period.
No, we did.
When did you ever have opportunities to?
Oh, I would see this person. I saw this person.
Well, saying hi and bye doesn't count.
I had a lengthy conversation with this person at an event when they were renaming. Oh, what's the park? Over.
They, Sawyer?
They were renaming a street. No, I can't think of the name of it now. But the mayor was there and everybody was there. I had a lengthy conversation with him there. I'm trying to remember what that event. Linda was at that event. We all were at that event. Had a lengthy conversation with him there. And this person always came in early. So I would always have a lengthy conversation, 15, 20 minutes before we would do an interview. And it was never political, the conversations we were having. We talked a lot. They were around quite a bit, and I don't think they would say that there was ever a contentious moment between the two of us. I don't think there was. There were contentious moments between this person and somebody else around here, but not me.
No, I've talked to this person, and she felt you were contentious with her.
Well, that's okay. Well, I think sometimes I don't feel that toward her.
Okay,
that's okay. I don't mind if she felt that way toward me. I don't feel that way toward her.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that came because of the ending of how we stopped meeting up. I think that's because I don't know why you would come deal with somebody continuously who you felt was being rough with you or whatever, not liking you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we talk a lot about how we get along.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't, if we could disagree.
You may not like where I'm going, though. Because I've decided to quit being kind.
Well, no, I, you know what? If somebody, it's much like elections. Like I was saying last night, if everything had went the same way it had went, it would have been boring. What people say on the air, good. That's the point. It's an opinion.
That's what I like about being on the air. You can't.
It's an opinion. I mean, I don't know why anybody would get so upset about an opinion. I don't care what people say about. People are entitled to their opinion, and I'm entitled to mine. Mm-hmm. And people can, and that's what I'm saying. In this particular case, if that person felt that way, that's okay. It doesn't change how I felt about them. I don't feel bad about them. And I would walk up to them today and start a conversation.
Isn't one of the, I keep trying to find the old cliche is my rights end when my fist hits your nose or something along that line. And I think we've gone past that. People that, on both sides, people that, and I, that's one of the things I'm going to quit doing, saying on both sides, because I really think the fists are coming from the Republican side and touching noses on the Democratic side, because that's where we're going right now. But I really think that we all need to step back and realize that you have the people that go to polling places with guns, I think, have actually hit somebody in the nose. I'm offended, and I'm also frightened when I see somebody with a gun. I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of that stupid piece of metal hanging from their side that is a reflection of their genitalia. And I hate being put in that situation. I think that's hitting me in the nose.
Well, I don't think anybody should invade anybody else's private space. I don't think anybody should.
I hope not.
I don't think anybody should point a gun at anybody. I don't think anybody should fire a gun at anybody.
Did you? Well, I know you saw the two lawyers pointing guns at people that were walking through their neighborhood.
And I think I have said that I
but
don't
you
think
didn't
that's
think
right.
That was news.
Right. No, I don't think it's news, because I think that at that particular time was a slow news day.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
And so that was that. But I don't think it was. I don't think it's right to point a gun at anybody. You know, that could cause major problems if
that
gun went off.
I don't think we should have guns on the streets. Open carry, to me, is absolutely one of the worst things that we've allowed to happen.
And I think, you know, here's what I want. This is what I hope. Why can't somebody have that opinion and somebody who has a differing opinion say, okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't agree with you, but I understand.
Yeah, but every time I said that when I was running for office, the people that would disagree with me would disagree with me with hate in their voice, as opposed to tell me why people should be allowed to carry. They always went back to the for self-protection. Bull crap. If we're all allowed to carry guns on the street openly, we're going to go back to the Old West and start having gunfights on the street. The only people that are carrying guns on the street are Republicans or right-leaning people. Very, very few. I know people will say Antifa, I think that's the name, but Show me a picture of an Antifa person with a gun, and you'll have to go a long way. And I imagine this person's calling in to get mad at me.
You know, I don't know. We'll see what's going on. Go ahead, caller.
Well, how are you going to stop somebody from mugging you with a dirty look? Or
how many times have you been mugged? I've never been mugged.
I have a very, very, very close friend. And she moved to Columbus because she was losing her eyesight. And she got mugged.
Well, very few and far between, and I really don't think that I would like to see the statistics that show that a person with an open carry actually stops somebody from mugging them. They're going to come up behind you, knock you on the head, and take whatever you want. You're not going to see them coming, and it's not going to be a point where I get to point my gun at you and you get to point your gun at me.
In the essence of time here, because we only got about 90 seconds.
Sorry.
No. But, I mean, is it okay to have a differing opinion? I mean,
that's why we're talking.
Listen to you guys. I'm all for freedom of speech and everybody to have their own opinion. I'm saying they call it pack and peace for a reason. I'd feel a lot better having it than not having it.
I think that's ignorant.
Well, I just think it's that's people's all. Opinion. But I thank you for calling.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't mind hearing that, because I do think that's an ignorant statement, but I do believe that she believes it, and that's fine. I need to do a better job of helping people learn.
Well, you know what? I don't, like I said, I just don't understand. Forget politics, because I think that's what makes everything so touchy right now. Even if somebody's having a problem, if they're having let's say they're having a financial problem, and they come to you. Now, you might not have the finances to help them. You cannot solve their problem, but they just want to be heard. That's it. They want to complain. It's on their chest. It's on their mind. They're in a jam. They want to talk to somebody. You might not have $1,000 to give them so they can pay their rent. But you're not going to solve their problem, and you're not going to change their problem. But they just want to be heard. But for some reason, when it comes to certain issues in this country, we can't just say, okay, I understand you. We have to try to convince other people of our way of thinking, and it goes both ways. And I'm not sure why that is. Yesterday I see Tom Brokaw on NBC, and he's talking about how he's hunts and has his guns and so on and so forth.
I think that's wonderful.
Right. So
I really do.
Right. So I think his point in bringing that up was that, people are saying that Democrats are out to take your guns. And he's saying, listen, I don't think that's true, and I'm not anti-gun.
It's not. I'm not out to take people's guns.
And here's the break. So we'll be back in 15 minutes.
Pundits, they all have opinions. But, John, Governor Kasich doesn't have many delegates, even if he wins Ohio, and he's far into fourth place that way. And so I don't know how he possibly gets the nomination in Clint. I also know, and he's been, I guess I hope he comes back to the state.